comes loose to Curry. Curry gets it ahead to Gretzky. Gretzky going in. Suter trying to get back. Gretzky with a shot. He scores!
They're going to try here. Rushing the center and down the wing. It is Marshall!
Moving on. Rendemore at the far side. That's broken. Here's a break. It is Pisani. Scores! A shorthanded goal for Pisani in the Edmonton Oilers. Come out of the box.
Here comes Connor McDavid. Shifting right by Riley. Right in. What a goal! My goodness, what a goal by Connor McDavid.
Hey, welcome to the Wednesday edition of Locked On Oilers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code Locked On, and you'll get $10 off your next order. Hernan Salas here with you from TSN 1260 and the Two Guys in a Goalie podcast. In a couple of minutes, I'll be joined by Tyler Yaremchuk from TSN 1260 and Oilers Nation as we'll take a deep dive into third line center options for the Edmonton Oilers this offseason, and we'll touch on the conference finals as well. As the Golden Knights tied the series up at 1, with a 3-0 shutout win over the Dallas Stars on Tuesday night. And it's game two this evening between the Tampa Bay Lightning and New York Islanders. The Islanders look to even up that series at 1 after taking it on the chin Monday. Puck drop for this one at 6 p.m. You can hit me up on Twitter at HernanTheMan at LockedOnOilers. Send me some questions or topics you would like to be discussed on this podcast. I'll make sure to get to those. And remember to subscribe and download on your favorite app for all the latest episodes. I am now joined by my colleague and good buddy Tyler Yaremchuk from TSN 1260 and Oilers Nation. You can find them on Twitter at Tyler Yaremchuk. TY, thank you for doing this. Let's get right into it. You wrote a great piece for Oilers Nation on Max Domi and whether he'd be a good fit in Edmonton. And like you mentioned in the article, he would be a player Oilers fans would absolutely love. And working here at the station, we see many trade proposals for Domi. But Tyler, it's easier said than done, right?
Yeah, it is. And you look at that team in Montreal, there are reasons to believe them and the Oilers would be a good trade fit. First off, Montreal is loaded up with middle round picks. Between rounds 2 and 4 this year alone, they have 7 picks. So they're not going to be looking for mid-round picks, which is good because the Oilers don't have any to trade. What Montreal is going to be looking for is probably some help on the wing or potentially even a left-handed defenseman. Well, that's kind of what the Oilers have a lot of is, you know, they could dangle a guy like Andreas Athanasiou. Mm-hmm. Maybe if they put in a good futures asset in there, maybe Montreal, who has a ton of cap space, would be interested in a veteran like Chris Russell as well. So I think it's an interesting trade fit. You know, like straight up Chris Russell for Max Domi is not going to get it done. You're going to have to add a lot into that. Would Athanasiou for Domi get it done? You know, you might even need to add a little bit onto there, yeah. But I think, I mean, Oilers fans would love Domi. I think the fact that he's a third line center and can also play on the wing is huge because, I mean, if it's not working on that third line, you bump him up. I think he'd look real good next to Connor McDavid as well.
And that's what I want to get to. You know, the big thing with Domi is he can play center or wing. I know Craig Button last week on Gregor's show said he's better at center and he prefers him at center. And, you know, he played down the middle and like you wrote in 2 years ago, resulted in his best season when it comes to numbers. But one of the downsides, he doesn't kill penalties. I think if you're bringing Max Domi to Edmonton, I can't see him as a third line center. I think you're slotting him in on one of those top two lines as a winger. But it's difficult because at the same time, he's better at center, but you have...
Yeah,
McDavid, Draisaitl, Nuge. So how would that work here in Edmonton?
I think you keep Draisaitl with Nuge and Yamamoto. That line works. You got McDavid on the top line with Cassian on the right side and whoever happens to be on that left side. And, well, let's say it's a deal based around Athanasiou and something for Max Domi. So now Domi's on your third line. I mean, you're going to have probably going to have Yesapulia-Jarvi coming back over. He's going to need a skilled centerman to play with. And I don't know if there's room for him in the top six with Yamamoto and Cassian playing ahead of him. So if you have Domi playing with Puljujarvi, and I mean, if you're trading Athanasiou out, that opens up some money on the wings. Maybe you can re-sign Tyler Ennis as well. And all of a sudden, you got him playing with Puljujarvi on one side, Ennis on the other. I mean, when he had that breakout 72-point season, I'm talking about Domi, of course, he was playing with Andrew Shaw and Jonathan Drouin.
Yeah.
Well, those aren't exactly bona fide top-line wingers. They're good middle six wingers. And I think that's what Puljujarvi and Ennis could be for him as well. So I know it sounds weird to say you're going to pay all this money or pay all these assets and then also pay the money to get a guy like Domi just to be your third-line center. But it could work out. And the Oilers' biggest problem this past season wasn't necessarily having someone to play with Connor McDavid. He still put up close to 100 points. The problem was finding depth scoring.
Secondary scoring. Yeah.
And building a third line like that, that helps your secondary scoring.
Like, I like Chahan. He was a hell of a penalty killer. He was good on faceoffs, but he didn't bring a lot of offense. So, and that's why it's interesting with Domi, but it's going to take some genius work by Ken Holland to make that work. Joined here on the Locked On Oilers podcast by Tyler Yaremchuk from TSN 1260 and Oilers Nation. So what does the number look like for Domi in terms of a new contract? As he went from 72 points two seasons ago to 44 this year in 11 less games. I mean, he was just over three. Obviously, he's going to get a raise, but I can't see an enormous contract for Mac Domi.
Too, right?
And like, that too, right?
Yeah, how much negotiating power does he have? I bet you he's 25 years old. So he'd probably be looking for something shorter term so he can cash in one more time in his prime.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised. 2 years, $3.5 million. It's a slight raise. It's short term for Domi. That would put him as a UFA at 27, you know, when the cap could start to creep up a little bit more, or at least it would only be one more year of a flat cap. So a 2 year deal, $3.5 million, gives him a raise, gives him a chance to cash in a couple of seasons. And if he goes to a good spot this offseason, it could be a chance for him to have two great years. And then maybe he's talking about making, you know, $6 million a season if he gets put into a good spot.
And the only reason you're going short-term, Tyler, is because of the flat cap. Like, if you're the Oilers and you can get him for four, like, I mean, he's still young.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he's got good numbers. He's one of those players you need to make a deep run in the playoffs. Yeah. He's feisty. He's engaged. Is the only reason you're going short is to the flat cap?
I think that's the only reason Domi would want to go short. If I'm the Oilers, I would have no problem going 4 or 5 years at $3.5 million.
Yeah.
But if you're Domi, like I said, I think you want to set yourself up to grab another contract while you're still in your prime once the cap starts going up. You know, a 27-year-old UFA, especially a guy with, you know, Domi's pedigree. And like I said, if he goes to a spot where he can put up, what if he comes here and puts up back-to-back 55-60 point seasons?
Yeah.
Playing on the third line, there's going to be teams lining up going, well, if we gave him more minutes, if we gave him more power play time, he's a guy who's going to score 70 points a year for us. So I think Domi would probably want it short term.
Tyler, you're jacking me up here and probably all Oilers fans with this Max Domi talk, because I can just picture him here in the Oilers colors playing on that. He'd probably play second power play unit, but he'd give him at least the second power play unit with Yamamoto and all that. More with TSN 1260's Tyler Yaremchuk in just a few minutes. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. 18 amazing flavors, including 6 new flavors, which include caramel brownie, cookies and cream, and my personal favorite, carrot cake. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. We're back here on Locked On Oilers podcast. I'm your host, Hernan Salas. You can connect with me on Twitter at HernanTheMan and at Locked On Oilers, as I'm joined by Tyler Yaremchuk from The Lowdown Show on TSN 1260 and writer and producer at Oilers Nation. TY, on your latest Oilers Nation article, you evaluated 4 UFAs that could be third line center options for the Oilers heading into next season. Those were Eric Halla, Carl Soderberg, Derek Grant, and Cody Eakin. Which one of these 4 do you like most in terms of being able to kill penalties and add more offense? Because if you're bringing in a third line center, they got to do both those things. Of these 4, which one do you like?
Yeah, the penalty killing thing is tough because I really do like Eric Halla the most. He's the guy who's going to bring you the most offense. 29 years old, 2 years removed from a 55-point season, struggled to stay healthy a little bit. But even this last season, in 48 games, he had 24 points. The 41-point pace the guy put up. I think he's a guy who could spark your offense a bit down in that bottom 6. He's never been leaned on a ton for penalty-killing minutes, but maybe, and I mean, that's something good pro scouts would do, right? They'll go back, they'll watch his penalty-killing tapes, they'll figure out if he's good on the PK. If you're confident he can give you some decent PK minutes, I think Eric Halla is the best fit on that list, and I don't think it's particularly close. The other names there, they all come with some risk. Like, Carl Soderberg's 34 years old. You don't know how much more good hockey he has left in him. But over 400 minutes on the penalty kill in the last 3 seasons. Derek Grant is getting healthy scratched right now in Philly. But he had a great start to the year in Anaheim, and he's a guy, again, who could probably kill some penalties for you. So, but he's only going to cost you probably $1.5 million. Like, he's not a significant upgrade in that third-line center role. And I don't think Cody Eakin really is either. You know, he's a little bit on the younger side. Maybe there's some upside. He wouldn't cost you a lot, but he wouldn't be my plan A. Halla's got to be the guy I think they look at if they're going to go the free agency route to fill that gap in the third line center spot. If it gets to, I mean, free agency starts October 9th. If it's getting to the end of October and you still don't have a third line center, I think that's when you probably put a little bit more emphasis on going after a guy like Cody Eakin. He's been in the league for like 10 years and he's only 29 years old. He's got a ton of experience and he can kill penalties. He's got a bit of a history being able to produce some offense. as well. So out of that list of four that I kind of wrote about, I think Hall has got to be the guy you go after early. And if you feel like you're not going to get anything there, or if you can't get anything done on the trade market, maybe you circle back to a good Western Canadian boy in Cody Eakin.
Yeah, if I had to rank him, I'm with you. I like Eric Halla. Then I'd probably go Cody Eakin, Derek Grant, and Carl Soderberg. I mean, good numbers with Arizona. Like you said, he plays a ton on the PK. He can play on your second unit, power play as well, but a little pricey there as well. Which player makes most sense money-wise? Because all these guys are going to come, are going to get a raise. I don't think they're going to be significant, but Halla coming off 2.75. Soderberg coming off 4.75. Aiken coming off 3.85. And Derek Grant, which was at the lowest, just coming off 7K. Which one for you, you think the Oilers can fit in with this flat cap?
I think Aiken's probably the most realistic option. He's coming off a deal that saw him make 3.8. I don't think he's making 3.8 again.
No.
I think he's down probably around the $2 million range, if that. And this year wasn't his best season. I'm just looking at it right now. 15 points in 49 games. That's a guy who you're only paying $1.5 million. But you can go back through his recent history over the last couple of years, especially that season in Vegas where he popped home 22. He scored at a 20-goal pace once before with Dallas as well. He had 19 goals in 78 games. So he can score. He can produce offense. It's a bit of a risk because he hasn't done it very much, at least this last season. But as a bounce-back candidate, I'd give Cody Eakin $1.5 million, and I think the Oilers could fit that in as well.
Joined by TSN 1260's Tyler Yaremchuk here on the Locked On Oilers podcast. You did mention some other options at center that would be, you know, kind of risky. From that group, any player you would be okay with as a consolation prize if you strike out on with the four players we just mentioned?
Yeah, some of the other free agents I listed, Thomas Nosek, limited offensive abilities, but he's on the younger side. He's been playing with Vegas, only bottom 6 minutes. He's a guy who, you know, maybe he slips through the cracks a little bit in free agency and the Oilers are able to get him cheap. I wouldn't hate that. Nate Thompson, I think he's too old. Trevor Lewis has experience playing in the Pacific Division. He's mainly been a fourth line center, but he can kill penalties. So I'd keep Trevor Lewis on that list as well. The one name that pops off, Colin Wilson.
Yeah.
He missed most of the season with injury. He wouldn't cost you a ton. I don't know if Colorado is going to be overly interested in bringing him back, but in the past, he's had some decent offensive numbers. Like, I mean, his career playoff numbers, 33 points in 65 games. This season, he only played 9 games before he got hurt. But last year, he had 27 points in 65 games. Year before that, 18 points in 56 games. 35 points in 70 games the year before that. Pretty much a consistent half a point a game guy for good chunks of his career before that as well. If you can get Colin Wilson on a $1.5 million deal and you're confident he can stay healthy, maybe that's a name you would take a look at as well, but it's a risk because, I mean, the guys have been, he's only played more than 70 games once in the last 5 seasons.
And that's the thing, you know, Ken Holland did such a good job last summer of signing guys to 1-year deals. Show me what you got. And then you saw guys like Archibald get an extension and be a good part for the Edmonton Oilers. And I think he's got to do the same thing. For you though, Tyler, if Ken Holland, we start next season and he didn't get any of these players on your list, is that a fail in your eyes? Because the Oilers are up against it. It's not easy. They need a goalie. They need wingers for Connor McDavid. If they don't come out with a third line center, like a legitimate one, like you had on your Oilers Nation article, is that a fail in your eyes?
Yeah, they need to get something done. Like, I don't think you can go into next season with Riley Sheahan and Gaetan Haas as your bottom six centers, especially coming off the year we just saw where they struggled to get depth scoring. Like, I think Gaetan Haas can have a decent year. I like having Riley Sheahan on the fourth line, but I just think if you want to show that you're actually trying to contend and win a Stanley Cup in this little window coming up here, you need to find a way to upgrade that position. It's not their biggest need. Goaltending obviously is. And as we see in the playoffs right now, if you have a hot goaltender, I mean, your bottom six won't even matter. And that's the thing with the Oilers too. Like, you can look back to that series against Chicago. If they had 9-10 save percentages from their goalies, we would have been talking about them going to the next round, and we wouldn't be talking about the lack of depth scoring, right? So I think third line center needs to be second on their list. They need to figure out the goaltending, get a guy like Ethan Bear signed as well, kind of do your own inside the house stuff before you go shopping. But I think he needs to find a upgrade at third line center. I think it needs to be done. He needs to move on from some vets. Like, right now, Cap Friendly has him projected next season at $11.2 million in cap space. So by the time you sign Bear, if you want to sign Athanasiou, if you want to sign Sheahan and Ennis as well, although Ennis may be a little bit more questionable, you're probably down to $7 million. He's going to cost more. Probably about $5 or $6 million. That's not enough to get a goalie and a third line center. So you probably need to, at that point, either move on from a guy like Chiasson or find a taker for Chris Russell if you want to make a significant upgrade?
And that's the big question. Yeah. There's Chris Russell's thrown in every trade proposal we've ever seen here at TSN 1260. But yeah, Ken Holland definitely has his work cut out for him this offseason. Coming up next, we'll close out the pod as we chat conference finals with Tyler Yaremchuk from TSN 1260. Final segment here on Locked On Oilers. Remember to subscribe and download on your favorite apps and give us a great review. I'm Hernan Salas, joined by my good buddy Tyler Yaremchuk. Of course, you can hear him weekdays from 10 to noon on the Lowdown Show on TSN 1260. Let's head to the NHL Conference Finals. Last night, Vegas shuts out the Dallas Stars to tie the series at 1. What did you make of that game, Tyler? I mean, listen, Fleury, not the reason they lost in game 1, but Leonard's their guy. Just roll with him. I'm so sick of this two-goalie stuff here. You saw it with the Islanders, too. We'll get to that game, but what did you think of Vegas last night in the bounce-back effort?
Yeah, I wasn't surprised to see them bounce back. Like, you just look at that team's depth chart, and it's the same thing. We'll get to the East in a second, but I look at Tampa Bay, and you just kind of shrug and go, like, how can anyone compete with that? Yeah. And that's the thing with Vegas. Like, I like Dallas. That three-headed monster they have on the back end is great.
Oh.
They have the high-end talent. I love watching Alex Radulov play. Like, that guy's just a ball of energy flying around. To go off on a tangent, Alex Radulov is what you hope Nail Yakupov would have been, right? Just being able
even close to that.
Like being able to fly around, score goals, get to the dirty areas. But you just look at Vegas, man. Like, they don't even have a top six. It's a top nine that they roll out there. What Ryan Reeves does on the fourth line as well. Shea Theodore on the back end. When they can go to their backup goalie and only give up one goal and then go to their starter the next night and shut you out. Like, they're just so dangerous. Dallas, I think, could maybe win one more game in this series, but I have a feeling it's over in at least six.
I've been counting out Dallas since the start of this bubble playoffs, and I'm not going to stop now, Tyler. I'm with you. I think Vegas wins this one in six. I just think they got the better goaltending. I love, like you said, the defenseman on the Dallas Stars, but Vegas is just too stacked right now in the forward group. Game two tonight, Lightning Islanders. Tampa Bay took game one, and it wasn't close. It was 8-2. Braden Point and Kucherov 5 points each in first game. I got to ask you, Braden Point hitting that superstar status for you?
I think he's getting really close.
Yeah.
And for a guy they found in the third round, which is basically what Tampa Bay does, like, he's coming off a season, so far in his NHL career, 262 points in 295 games. This past season, he was just a hair under a point per game. Go back to last season, he had 92 points in 79 games as well. He's a legitimate first-line center, and he's, like, not even 23 years old. So it's incredible what he does out there. He seems to have great chemistry with Kucherov as well. He's pushing his way into that.
Yeah.
He's not going to get to the McDavid McKinnon tier, because that's a special tier of players.
Yeah.
But he is right under there. And I was talking to some buddies about the 2022 Olympic team. Braden Point's going to be there for Team Canada.
Oh, 100%. And, we both work Oil Kings, and we're both at the arena, and we see a lot of guys. And I remember watching Braden Point, and everybody's saying he's too small to play. But he was just on another level, kind of like a Barzell, kind of like Provorov when I saw him play here against the Oil Kings. You knew these guys were going to be special. And I just want the Oilers one day to find a player like Braden Point in the third, fourth round that turns out to be this, right? Because it's not easy, but you got to hit on one. And is there one player that you see right now in the dub that you're like, man, this guy's going to be a stud in the NHL? Because you cover a lot of junior hockey as well, right?
Yeah, oh, man. Oh, I mean, Jake Neighbors is going to go in the end of the, mid-second round, end of the first round. He's really good. I think he's a guy who will be in the NHL. I don't think he'll be a star, though. Looking at the Oil Kings, though, you talk about small playmakers who maybe get a knock because of their size. Dylan Gunther.
Oh, man.
What that kid's doing, what he was doing as a 16-year-old when he'd go for his brief stints in the league, what he did as a 17-year-old, like almost a point-a-game guy, Dylan Gunther is going to be a top 10 pick next season in the NHL. I think he could be a top 5 pick in the NHL next season. This kid's legit.
And he's fantastic.
Like, the knocks on him never have, like Point, like Barzell, the knocks on him never have anything to do with his actual game. It's, well, he's small. He's not big enough.
Yeah.
Okay, well, he might bulk up a little bit here. And also, size doesn't really matter anymore in the NHL. You can be 5'10" and be a point-a-game player, and we're seeing that right now with Braden Point. So if you're listening to this and you're a hockey fan in Edmonton, get out, watch this Gunther kid a few times, because he's legit.
And he plays with Neighbors, if I'm correct, right?
Yeah. He spent most of last year on that top line with Neighbors.
And then that line was just absolutely humming throughout the season. Lightning Islanders, this is Lightning series to lose?
Yeah, I think they're winning it in 4 or 5. I heard Jamie McClellan this morning on the Nielsen show say that he thinks the Islanders can take a couple games from Tampa. I don't think so.
I think
Tampa's
so
too good, man.
Tyler here. I'm Chuck from TSN 1260. Joining me here on the Locked On Oilers podcast. A few non-hockey questions. NFL gets going tomorrow. Yeah. Tyler, how many fantasy leagues are you in?
I limit myself to three.
I'm in two, and I'm drafting both tonight.
Oh, wow. Dusty's in like 20. And
yeah,
I'm like, man,
that's too much.
That's not fun. Like, no. For me, I want to be able, and even in the three leagues I'm in, I always try to, especially late in the draft some of the same guys.
Same guys, yeah, yeah.
So you have a rooting interest in a certain group of players. Like, to me, if you're in more than three, then you're just cheering for everyone every week. It could be like, oh, I have Mahomes, but the guy I'm playing in this other league also has Mahomes, so I need him to do good, but not too good, and it just gets messy. So I'm in three. I like my three. I play my DraftKings as well. I'm betting a lot, but I'm stoked for football. If you would have asked me a week ago, I would have been like, I don't know how excited I am for football, but now that I've got like the fantasy drafts under my belt, I'm fired up. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, I'm fired up, too, and I'm with you, too. I was asked to join a third one, and I said, no, that's too much, and like you, I tried to draft both my teams very similar, so like I'm not cheering against my guy in one league and then cheering for him in another. So what was the highest pick you had, like, in your three drafts?
So there's one where the entry fee's a bit of money, so I split it with a few friends, and we, you know, put our heads together. Okay. We make our draft boards and all that. We actually got first overall in that one.
And
so we got Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, nice.
And then
nice.
In the second round, we actually had Godwin fall to us as well, which was great. So I'm liking that team.
That's a pretty good combo there. Yeah, and the one tonight, I'm in Dusty's new Dynasty one. I got the second pick, so it looks like I'll be getting Barkley.
Yeah, yeah.
If for some crazy reason the other guy doesn't take Christian McCaffrey, but...
It's a Dynasty league, so...
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll see. And have you watched Cobra Kai?
No, I haven't watched Cobra Kai.
You've watched Karate Kid.
I've never seen Karate Kid.
Oh, what? Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious.
No, you're lying.
I should watch
How old are you?
22.
And you've not watched, like, my nephew's 23 and he's watched Karate Kid. How you've not watched Karate Kid?
When did it come out?
Karate Kid came out in 1984, I think.
Okay, well,
but you can still watch it.
I know. I don't. Anyone who's followed my content at all knows I don't watch a lot of movies.
Like
the crane
kick. Oh my god!
I know, like, all of the sort of jokes.
Does
that
Dusty
are like,
know?
No, Dusty doesn't know.
Does
that.
Because we're staring at him right now as he's doing his morning show and we're doing this podcast. My God, Tyler! Like
it's,
this,
it's
you're
pretty,
like Matty Wanick, man. Like, you guys don't watch classic movies, so obviously you don't know what Cobra Kai is.
But that's so that was like the enemy.
It's
right?
It's like a spinoff 30 plus years later, obviously, but it's with the same characters, but they're just older now, and their kids.
That was
William
Zabka's. It's funny that you bring this up, though, because I'm watching How I Met Your Mother with my girlfriend right now, and the last night we watched the episode where they bring in the characters from The Karate Kid, and it's like a whole bit in the show, so I actually like have all of that fresh in my head from like...
Yeah, William Zabka, Ralph Macchio, yes, and it's so good. I just started watching it last week, and it's cheesy, but it's a good cheesy. But it's great. But please watch Karate Kid.
I will. I'll get on that. I'll have a full review next time I'm on the podcast.
Oh, man. And if you haven't watched Cobra Kai and you're listening to this podcast, you are missing out. Tune in because it is absolutely fantastic show. It's on Netflix, the first two seasons. Tyler, thanks so much. Like always, you always give so much great insight when it comes to the Edmonton Oilers. Hope to have you on soon, maybe before the draft or free agency kicks off. But thanks again, my friend.
Whenever you need me, thanks.
Big thanks to Tyler Yaremchuk for joining me on today's edition of Locked On Oilers. It was a fun one as Tyler broke down all the third line center options for your Edmonton Oilers. Again, you can listen to Yaremchuk weekdays from 10 to noon on the Lowdown with Low Tide on TSN 1260 and always has great articles up at Oilers Nation. And make sure to give him a follow on Twitter at Tyler Yaremchuk. Don't forget to subscribe and download on your favorite apps for the latest episodes and connect with me on Twitter at Hernan the Man at Locked On Oilers and give a follow to Locked On Pods. Two more pods coming this week and hopefully we have a trade or two to talk about. I know, wishful thinking, but you never know. Producer Manuel is telling me to wrap up, so thank you for listening to Locked On Oilers on this wonderful Wednesday. I'm Hernan the Man, talking Los Petroleros. Have a good one. Chat tomorrow.